Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome to the Coco Express Show for Thursday, February 20th, 2014. I am so glad you were able to come back and join us again. I guess circumstances beyond our control prevented us from doing the show yesterday, but I have to believe that everything happens for a reason. So if you're with us today, you're with us today because this is what was meant to be. Today we're going to have a phenomenal guest on our show. Her name is Aleja, I hope I'm saying it right, Aleja Bennett, and she is an author, motivational speaker, she's a poet, she's a parent, she's a student, she's a teacher, she is all of these things and then some. She has written 13 books. And I have to tell you that writing a book is not an easy task, and you really have to have something in you to be able to give you the motivation and the spirit and the guidance to make you have you sit there and pen 13 books. Her latest book is You Can't and Won't Stop Me from My Purpose. And, I mean, I can truly, truly see that title in my own life for what it is that I'm doing with you right here, right now. And we're just going to go into knowing who she is, finding out more about her, the books, her book signing, and all the amazing things she has in store for us going forward in her own life. And she's going to share that with us. So please allow me the opportunity to bring her on. Good evening. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much. I am just so glad that you were able just to join us today, and I'm grateful for the opportunity.
I want to thank you for having me, and let's get ready to have a great show.
Okay, so now, you are an amazing woman. You have a story that is something that a lot of us probably would not be able to endure, and yet you still stand. Please tell us a little bit about your story and your journey.
First, I would like to thank everyone who's listening by phone and internet. Thank you for taking out the time to listen to me, Aleja Bennett, who used to be a broken vessel that God is using at this present time. This time last year, I was broken, so I just have to give thanks to God first, because I would not be on this show if it wasn't for the mercy and grace and love of God. So I just have to put that out there first before I talk about myself. Wow. I just started walking into my purpose, so let's take it back when Aleja didn't have any purpose, okay?
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to say when, let me rephrase that. When I thought I didn't have purpose.
Okay.
When I was unaware that I didn't have purpose. You know, God had a plan for my life. You know, he planted the ambition, he planted the goals in the womb of my mother. A mother, a woman who abandoned me, who rejected me from 6 months old, walked away from the apartment as if me and my siblings never existed, and went on with the rest of her life. So I don't have any knowledge of her. I don't know who she is because I was 6 months old. And when I went to try to find out who she was at 21, the agency said that she does not want to be found, so they told me to try to find peace and love in my kids, to go on with my life. that was a day when the alcohol addiction became more severe, because that's when I knew that this woman didn't want me. My father, they both were married, so they both didn't want me. I felt rejected. I felt abandoned all over again because I survived terrible physical, mental, and emotional abuse by the hands of my church-going adopted parents, who served as a deacon and a deaconess, and who still serving as a deacon and deaconess in the Baptist Church in Brooklyn. So I had beef with God. I was very angry with God. I was hurt in the church. You know, so those people who don't want to go to church, I wouldn't let anyone today stop me from going to church, because that's what we need for our fuel. You know, church is like the gas station. We need that for strength. We need that for guidance. We need a message. We need a word from God. You know, so we need church. I would not let anyone again in my life now, this present time, this present moment where I am with God, deter me from worshiping God in the house of the Lord, or stop me from worshiping God in the house of the Lord. If you have a demon, if you're the devil, if you want to be Satan and let him use you, I'm going to flip it around and let God use me for what he needs to use me for. So not knowing that I had purpose, I had feelings of self-doubt. I didn't have any self-worth. My self-esteem was shot, was very low. Even though I'm an attractive woman, my adopted parents never said I was beautiful. They had a name for me as a kid, and the name was Sad Sam. That's what my adopted father called me. Because if you look into my eyes as a child, you saw the, if you really look at me as a child, you would see that there was a lot of sadness. There was something going on. I even saw it. You know, I would go to the bathroom mirror and I would see the sadness in my face. And I used to try to correct the sadness. But, you know, that sadness stayed in my face for most of my life. And I believe that's why the men came up to me. They saw a victim. You know, I carried the title of a victim. My kids didn't want to have a relationship with me because I was a victim. I loved them as much as I could, but I was a victim. I was having kids, and I didn't get help for my past. I lived a life as if nothing happened. I couldn't live my life sober. I had to drink every day because there were so many secrets. I had to keep secrets from 5 years old. You know, when my mother took her fingernail and sliced me with it on the side of my face, and I still have a dent to the right side of my eye to this day, and I'm almost 41. So the scars are still there. You know, it took me a long time to get over the abuse. It took me a long time to get over depression. I had to get delivered. Oh, my goodness. I had to get delivered from so much. The reason why there's 13 books, because every book, God was changing me. From the first book, Only the Strong Can Survive, God gave me poetry. From the second book, God still gave me poetry. Then God gave me poetry of a woman that knows how to show love, knows how to show passion, affection, romance. So I started to write about my feelings, maturing into this woman, feelings that I have for a man, just love, romance, the touch of a man, the look of a man, the smell of a man. I started writing these things, and I was like flabbergasted, because I was like, wow, Lisa, you're writing this now? I couldn't wait to see the next book I was going to write. And each book was a self-help book, either for the addiction. I was fighting an addiction all my life, the drinking. I was fighting it. I tried to stay sober. And then the addiction became so bad that I would drink and not want to drink. Like, I could take some Jamaican rum and know it's making me nauseous, That's how sick the disease was. I still kept drinking on top of that because I just, I don't know, I didn't have to, but I just did it, you know. So that's how sick my addiction, you know, became. And I would say that I was a functional alcoholic because I worked, kept my place clean, always kept my I kept my teeth white. You know, I was one of those alcoholics that was fly. I was a fly alcoholic, you know. Had my matching pocketbooks and my outfits like I do today, my long braids, you know. So I kept it intact. You know, you never would have known I was an alcoholic because I don't look like what I've been through. I don't look like what I was. And I think there's a song out that says that I don't. You don't know my story. You know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
You saw me in person and you saw how young I looked, you'd be like, you went through that? Let me see your lips. How come you don't look like you used to drink liquor every day? So God kept me in the midst of my sins. God kept me in the midst of my depression. God kept me when those kids walked out on me. God kept me when my adopted parents acted like they never knew me. God kept me when the Jewish woman at the agency said, your mother don't want to be found. God kept me through the midst, through the years of all that. The last book that I wrote was meant to be in anger, was meant to get back at someone. And God turned that book around. He transformed it. He rearranged it for a book of purpose. You know, so I'm really happy because I know where I've come from. I know how somebody just tapped me. I'm hitting them. I know where I've come from today. You know, from last year to today, it's a different woman. I am that example today. I am that motivational speaker today. I'm going to be a minister. I'm going to have my singing ministry. I know where I'm going today. I have purpose. I'm on my way to my destiny, and no one can stop that. That teacher at the Berean Bible Institute, she couldn't stop that. My adopted parents can't stop that. When my 21-year-old threw me in Rikers Island for 3 weeks, she can't stop that. When my 10-year-old son said he don't want to be with me, he can't stop that. When my 18-year-old daughter chose to live with a drug addict, she can't stop that. Look at where Alija Bennett is today. 13 books, still writing, still living, still dependent on Jesus.
That's a lot. That is a lot to endure. And the question that I want to ask you is, do you feel that you harbor any anger at all?
No anger. No anger. Just joy.
Okay. That is so good because it is, I know that when you go through things, and when we all go through things, regardless of our walk, we sometimes fall back on the feelings, the human feelings and emotions, and we sometimes forget what God has planned for us.
Yes.
And the road that we travel. And I wanted to know, how do you maintain your journey without falling back?
I would say, honestly speaking, I'm a very sensitive woman, and because I have a sensitive nature, and I'm a very emotional, I tend to still get hurt easily, quickly, but not to the point where I'm going to drink or to the point where I feel I need to end my life, because now I have a remedy for my sensitivity and for my emotional side. I fall down on my knees and I pray to God and I said, this person just hurt me, and God, help me. You know, so a person that has a sensitive nature and that's emotional and loving like myself, I have to stay on my knees often. You know, I have to stay on my knees, and I find myself, I have to stay in praise. If I'm on the bus, I'm in praise. Oh, God, thank you. Oh, Lord, I just thank you. Oh, God, you're just worthy. Oh, God, I magnify your name. You're just worthy to be praised. If I'm in a gym, I'm on a what's the machine I get on? The stairmaster.
Treadmill?
Yes, treadmill, yes. If I'm on in the gym, I don't care who's looking, who's watching, I'm sweating and saying, oh, Lord, thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the strength to get on this treadmill, God. I just thank you, God. I know I'm going to lose this weight, oh, God. I'm just thanking and praising God for everything. You know, I'm so grateful. I just want to spread the message of hope and strength. You know, we have to find that inner strength within us. You know, there was an inner strength that was within me to allow Alija to keep standing. You know, that's why one of the titles of my book is called All I Can Do Is Stand.
Okay, I've looked at the titles of your book. I'm listening to you speak, and I somewhat, deep down inside, this is what I'm seeing, is that you were brought to show love, to show the different dimensions of love, because in order for you to know how to truly love something or someone, you have had to go through something, the opposite of that, to know what real love is. And yes, all of your books scream out, show love. And, you know, your message is show love. And I think the actual purpose of our existence on this planet is to follow the principles of, you know, our Lord and Savior. When he sent his son, he sent his son so that we could love one another. And you are a prime example of that. You have been through the fire and the rain, and yet you still stand tall.
Yes, yes, hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes.
So, and I am interested in finding out, okay, we're in February, the month of love. Now, when you wrote this book, you said you wrote the book 40 Ways to Please a Good Man. That came from you discovering and finding out the other dimension of love that was inside of you. Now, what was that like for you? I mean, how do you consider yourself an expert when it comes to these matters?
I would say that I'm an expert in knowing the meaning of love. I would say I'm an expert in giving love. But I could say that, honestly speaking, I never received the love from a man, a child of mine, or anyone on this planet but God. Everyone has failed me as far as receiving that kind of love that I have pushed out. And that's what almost took me out of here, because I know how to love you. I know how to keep you. I know how to keep you happy. I know how to keep you satisfied. So the reason why I titled that book 40 Ways to Please a Good Man is because I never had a good man. I gave the 40 ways to a man that was not deserving of my body, a man that was not deserving of my time, a man that was not deserving to even know my name, you know. So, yes, I can say I'm an expert at it, but as far as receiving it, I have yet to receive that love from a human being on this planet besides God.
Okay. Now, that brings me to All I Can Do Is Stand. When you know, and I guess if you were brought up in the church, this just, you know, this just sits in your spirit, because what do you do when there's nothing else you can do? You just stand. And do you feel that all that you endured was for you to be able to teach us, to teach us to understand what it's like to endure pain and still have love? Because when we go into the human self, you hurt me, I'm going to want to hurt you back.
Yeah.
Okay, and you do something like this to me, I'm going to hold a grudge against you forever. And that's just the way it goes. And what you're doing and what you're saying and what you're showing is that I don't care about what you have done to me. I'm going to love you anyway. And that's agape love. And that's what, and I keep going back to that. That is what we are supposed to do. Yeah. Have, and now, how does it feel for you when you give forth so much and receive so little? What does that feel like for you?
It led me down a road of destruction. You know, it led me on a road of alcoholism. It led me on a road of depression. It led me on a road of psychiatric wards, hospitals. It led me on a suicide trip. Having a loving heart is a price to pay behind that. I always used to say, why do I love so much? I can meet someone and just fall in love with them off the bat. It's just always been like that, and I'm so glad that God saved me now, because now I don't even look at a man. And it's not that I don't want to look at a man. I know when I take that first look, I'm in love. I mean, that's just the way. And, you know, some people say it's because I'm a Cancer, I'm July 9th, you know. I have my mood swings, too, you know. I have my mood swings, and it has a lot to be with a writer. I like quietness. So I will go in my crab shell. I will go underneath there and start writing my books. I need to be alone sometimes. I need quietness. I love you, but you need to give me my space. And a lot of men, they're so insecure when they have a nice-looking woman like myself. And when I'm so talented, I'm multi-talented. God gave me a gift of poetry. He gave me a beautiful singing voice. He gave me the gift of writing songs, writing books. So when you're this talented and you wind up with insecure man, that relationship is not going to work out, because he's going to always think you're with someone or someone is looking at you. And when you're an attractive woman and when you're with an insecure man, you know, he must not have it together to be insecure. So now you find these men now, they're going with the less attractive women, so they can feel good about themselves. Oh, I ain't got to worry about nobody looking at her because she's ugly. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just, this is the times that we are living in. You know, you have black women. They've been so hurt by the black men, just like I have. They're crossing over to the white man. And now you have the white man is appreciating the color of our skin. The white man is appreciating our lips. The white man is appreciating our nappy hair. The white man is appreciating our weaves. The white man is appreciating our long braids. Because, like I said, I have yet to find one black man that have treated me good. They either used me, robbed me, was jealous of my intelligence. I don't have a man today because when I open up my mouth, and when Elijah Bennett has something to say, it is something positive. It is not anything negative. I don't have to use profanity to get my point across. When I speak with the authority that God gave me. And when I look at you, I have the spirit of discernment. So I know if you're good. I know if you're bad. I know if you're an alcoholic. I know if you're a drug addict. God has given me this. So when you are a woman that's highly favored by God, he favors you in life. Not only does he favor you, he gives you the spirit of discernment. He finally gave me that because he had to clean me up. I have the spirit of discernment now, so if I do look at a man, I can tell he's not for me. And if he open up his mouth, I definitely can tell he's not for me. And if a man don't have white teeth and his lips ain't together and his breath ain't together and his body odor is not intact, that's not for me, because I know what I want. You know,
I hear you.
I'm a little bit off the hook. You know, I speak the truth. I'm real. You know, I'm real. The way I speak is what you hear in my books. 40 Ways to Please a Good Man is not intended for a drug addict. 40 Ways to Please a Good Man is not intended for a man that does not work. 40 Ways to Please a Good Man is not for me to open up my legs to you and give you me, and you can't even buy me a soda. 40 Ways to Please a Good Man is for you to not ask me for my number if you can't take me to dinner.
Okay.
40 Ways to Please a Good Man is a man that is working, a man that's driving, a man that has goals. Short-term goals, long-term goals, A man that wants a house, not a man that wants to sit on welfare and collect food stamps and a government check every month. That's not the good man that I'm talking about in my book.
All right. I believe we have a listener on the line. I think they have something they want to say. Okay?
I have to get that out.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. I'm a friend of the host. I'm a friend of the girl of the host, and I wanted to ask a question. What do I do if, like, my boyfriend don't want to, like, show me out to the public, and, you know, like, he's afraid to kind of, like make me meet his family and stuff like that? It's past, like, 6 months.
Drop him.
Now, y'all know what I'm ready to say, right? Hi, baby.
I don't know, he doesn't respect me, like.
All right, let me ask you a question. I'll get to him next. I want to get with you. How do you feel about you? How do you feel about your worth as a woman? How do you feel about you? Because I can't really talk about him right now. I want to see how you feel about yourself to put up with someone and something in a situation like that.
Well, like, for me, I feel good. I'm proud of me. And at the end of the day, like, I respect myself to the utmost. So that's why I've gotten to the point where it's like, do I still want to be in this relationship with him? Like, because I feel like he's not respecting me, and he doesn't care for me the way I care for him. And I'm proud of who I am and what I've done, what I've been through, and everything like that, because that's made me stronger. That's made me who I am. So I feel like I'm happy with me. It's just, is he happy with me? Is he happy with me? That's what I'm asking.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
Okay. I have to say, and I'm going to tell you this honestly, if you love yourself, if you care about yourself just that much, and this particular individual is not showing you the respect and the honor that you desire, then you shouldn't even be asking yourself what he thinks at all. You should be asking yourself who's going to be the next person in your life, because the longer you wait, the more time you waste, and time cannot be given back. You can't get time back, and you have a whole wonderful life to live, and you sound like a beautiful young lady. So what I can say to you is, don't waste your time any longer on a situation that shows no promise.
That's right. As far as him, I would cut him loose. I would smack him in the head with 40 ways to please a good man, and I would tell him, if you want these 40 ways, you're going to treat me in public. If you want these 40 ways, you're going to treat me right. Do you know who I am as a woman? I'm intelligent. I'm beautiful. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. God created me in his image. Who you think you are to not want to show me in public?
That's
no,
true.
He couldn't be with me. You know, you are in college. You are getting educated. When God is educating you, he's getting you ready for your purpose and to walk into your destiny. You don't have to settle for less. You don't have to settle for garbage, because God is going to, he already have that hand-picked man just for you.
Amen.
That's true. Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart. Love you guys.
Love you.
Althea?
Yes, Ma.
Do you have any questions for me?
Who, me?
Who, me? No.
Althea is my daughter, Ariel.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're college students. They're in big up to SUNY Canton College, where my daughter is 8 hours away from
me. Oh, okay. Well, congratulations, you future generation starters. And, I mean, being in college is very important. And it's a place where you kind of learn to figure out who you are and what you want to be. And it's a time where you should really be focusing more on getting the grades and getting that education under your belt, and a lot less time on thinking about boys. Because, as I used to tell my daughter, and she is currently getting her master's degree in forensic psychology, I said, the same knothead boys that you stressing over will be there when you finish getting your education.
Yes, that's right. I told my daughter, Althea, don't I tell you the same thing?
Yes, Ma.
So it must be true.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to I don't want to lose my religion. I don't want to lose what I've got if somebody hurt my child. You know what I mean? So
I understand.
Tell these kids, stay away from anybody negative because God's still dealing with me. You know what I mean? Just stay away from my child. Stay away from my seed. You know what I mean? Girl, just get your education and go from there because God didn't make us to be alone. You know, and God has to get us ready for that man that he has for us. The reason why I never met that man yet is because I wasn't ready. I wasn't mentally ready. I wasn't emotionally ready. I can say now I'm ready. I don't have any baggage. I don't have any addictions, you know, so I'm ready. So I wish he, you know, come on, because my clock is ticking. I'm almost 41, you know, so yeah, I know God is listening to this show. I want to big up to God, you know, because I know he's listening.
And he's laughing. He goes, oh, her time? Okay, yeah, right.
Because I'm like, the doctor said I'm not going through the change of life, but I'm always hot. Like, I have to change my clothes periodically in the daytime. I just have to change my clothes before I got on the show. So, you know, people think that when you're saved and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't have feelings. Yes, we do. Because we all have flesh. And when the flesh starts feeling, I have to go on my knees and ask God to take these feelings away.
Okay.
You know, I was just talking to my sister about that. They laughing, right?
Yes, they are. I can hear them giggling. I kind of muted them out so they can have their little chuckle time. It's difficult for kids to be able to hear their parents speak in that particular manner. Also, it's really good for them to understand that because I think that those are the primary relationships that they have before they go out and be on their own. And if they do have a good understanding and see that they have, that their parents are human and they still have those human qualities in them, it makes them more open to understanding themselves going forward as they grow and mature into adulthood.
Yes, you are so right.
So, you know, because I tell my daughter crazy stuff and she looks at me sometimes like, really? I'm like, yeah. So, but she has a better understanding of who she is going to be based on our conversations and the conversations she has with her dad.
Right. Okay, that's good.
Yeah. However, now let's flip it over to 40 Ways to Please a Good Woman.
Okay, 40 Ways to Please a Good Woman wasn't intended to be written. It was just all about 40 Ways to Please a Good Man. It was basically a 40-year-old celebration for me turning 40 last year, July 9th, and it had a corny birthday cake on it. The book looked like someone wrote it from kindergarten. No one said, why don't you fix the cover? My daughter even knew that the cover wasn't looking good, you know. So it was like a gift from me to me because I give a lot in my books. So that book was for me. It showed me the 40 ways that I used to give the wrong man, and that's why I titled it 40 Ways to Please a Good Man. Now, 40 Ways to Please a Good Woman, it wasn't intended to be ever written. But when the book came out, I went on Facebook to see the response, and it was a good response. And one guy said, well, I want to know how to please a woman.
Okay.
It caught me by surprise because I'm like, I know people really don't know how to keep a relationship spicy. People really don't know, they don't have the patience to make a relationship work. They don't want to put that time in. That's why people go from relationship to relationship. So when this man said he want to know how to please a woman, I laughed. But when I thought about what he said, I was like, wow, there are men and women that think that it's just about sex. You know, you could be giving a man great intimacy, but what can you give that man outside of the bedroom? Because that man is going to get hungry. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And can you cook? You know, Because if you can't cook for him, the woman next door, she's going to have a pot of greens and some cornbread and some potato salad, you know, waiting for your man. And then if it's a West Indian next door, she's going to have some curry goat, curry chicken, rice and peas and coconut bread and all of that. You know what I'm saying? So people think it's just about good sex, and it's not. You gotta serve that man a meal. You have to be attentive to him. Same with the woman. You know, the book was reversed. It's the same book. It's just reversed. Woman, man, woman. It's reversed. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be spontaneous. You know, some women, they stop doing their hair when they get in a relationship. They start looking like somebody from Halloween with those wigs that stick out. They don't want to do their hair. Some women stop taking showers, stop putting deodorant under their arms.
Uh-uh.
I mean, you know... I'm very real. I've always been this way, and this is just him. A lot of people will not like my books because I'm keeping it real. You know, you know your husband is coming home, freshen up your body. Keep yourself smelling good for that man. Keep your breath intact. Before you go to bed, brush your teeth. When you wake up, in the middle of the night while he's sleeping, gargle your mouth, and when you go to kiss him, he'll think your breath smells fresh all the time. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. It's work, and if you don't want to put the work in, then therefore your relationship will find its way going out the door, basically what you're saying.
Yes. So basically those books are in the raw. They're not sexual books, but it basically just states exactly what I just stated. How to keep a relationship spicy, how to keep that marriage from falling apart, do something different, do something that's going to excite him. You know, if you're not a good listener, start listening to him. Make it a night. How was your day, babe? You know what? Tonight is about you. Let me just listen to you. I want to know what you have to say.
Mm. Now, when you are going to be doing a book signing every Friday or Monday of the... Wait, let me get this right. You have a book signing that you have coming up, and that is on the 24th from 4:30 to 6:30 at the Queens Library in Richmond Hill, New York.
The Richmond Hill Library, that's Monday?
Mm-hmm.
The Richmond Hill Library, yes. That's from 4:30 to 6:30, and it's going to be every last Monday in the month, started February 24th all the way to August. But I just wrote another book, so I'm going to see if they have a spot for me in September.
All right. So that's excellent. And, I mean, it takes a lot for you to be able to put yourself all in on the pages of your books and still, because I know me, I'm very shy and reserved. And to put your life on the pages of a book and walk away from it, do you oftentimes want to go back and take that book back?
Pick up the book I wrote and take it back?
Yeah, you know, like you've written a book and you're deciding on, you know, publishing it and everything. Have you ever put a book down and said, no, I can't do that. I'm not ready to let people know that.
Because just by the way I speak, you can tell that I'm very real. That's why I never had a lot of female friends growing up. I never had a lot of friends because I always said the truth. I always spoke what was in my mind. And so because I didn't have friends and because they didn't want to listen, they wound up seeing through the years that what I was telling them was right. So I just basically put it in my book. And the person that picks up my book will appreciate that advice. They won't feel like I know it all because I don't know it all. I know a lot because I've experienced a lot. I learned from you by being on your show. You learned from me for inviting me on your show. I learn in school every day. I learn. My kids even teach me what's going on out there today, the little words they use, you know, what's popping. And, you know, so I know the words are different from the words we used to use in the 70s and the 80s. You know, no, I don't regret none of my books that I've written. Yes, my business is in every book. I'm not ashamed of it because I kept it hidden for so long. My adopted parents, I tried to keep their secret. I tried to keep so much things bottled inside. It almost cost me my life. I wouldn't be here today. So I'm glad I put my business out there in those books. People have not read any of those 13 books yet. Those books just started to be promoted because I probably wasn't ready mentally, emotionally for those books to be, you know, now people are looking at me now, but don't think that people are reading my books now. They're going to read them now, but those books are all still new. No one knows about who Alijah Bennett is. So, you know, I'm speaking on shows every day. I'm going on TV soon, the Bronx Network. I'm going on WBLS to the studio next week. So right now I'm walking into my season. I'm walking into my purpose. I'm mentally ready for what I wrote in those books. I'm spiritually and emotionally ready for my business to be out there now.
Okay. Do you feel, are you, now you know that there will be temptation and there will be roadblocks and hurdles in the way. Are you prepared for that, for those different challenges? Because, you know, the devil's busy, and he's a liar too, but he's busy, and he is going to be busy up in your business because you've decided to step forward and not hide anymore. You're shaming him, and you know that he's very vengeful. How are you prepared for that?
Well, I know we have 19 minutes left to the show, and I can't tell you all that in 19 minutes. That would have to be a show, but I'm going to... Because what you just asked me right there is the question that I've been waiting for you to ask me for the past however long we've been on the show, 45 minutes. Wow, that's a show by itself, that question alone. You know, I'm tempted every day of my life. Ever since October 17, 2013, ever since I fell down on my knees and asked God to take control of my life and I surrender my all to you. I can't handle those kids. I can't handle the bottle. I can't handle this depression. I need you. I know now that you are God. I need you. Fix me up. Because I had a temper. My daughter would say I had a temper. I'll fight in a minute, you know. And God has rearranged me and changed me. And every day I am tested. Yesterday, your studio broke down. Today, I didn't receive my books for the book signing. A few days ago, they were supposed to come. I didn't receive them. I am tested every day. They say the books is coming tomorrow. The devil doesn't want me to have my books for February 24th, but the devil is a liar. I'm going to have my books.
Okay.
When I went into ministry school, the devil was right there waiting for me. The devil didn't want me to be on your show, but look, I'm on your show tonight. I may have not been on there last night, but that didn't stop the show. I'm here tonight. So I am tempted every day. I have to stay on my knees a lot. I have to pray a lot. I stay in the Word. I don't watch nothing on TV. I just listen to the Word channel. I listen to my gospel. I stay in the Word. I stay in prayer. I stay around people that's in God, living for God, not people that's going into the church wearing different hats and different outfits. I mean, I surround myself around prayer warriors, people that are praising and worshiping God, because I can't do none of this without God, because I know where he brought me from.
Amen.
You know, I know where he brought me from. Like that song said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. I had no peace.
Amen.
I had no peace. And just because I wrote these books and just because I got a daughter in college and just because I'm on your show, it doesn't mean I'm not tested. I'm tested more than I should be. I'm tested on every angle. I'm tested through everyone. The devil wants me to be quiet. He doesn't want me speaking. He doesn't want me talking about the abuse because I was supposed to die. Every time I took some pills or drank a bottle of liquor, I was supposed to be dead. You know, so there's going to be some stumbling blocks, but I have rebuked them. I have bound them in the name of Jesus. It's not going to prosper. No weapon prosper. No weapon formed shall prosper because I'm more than a conqueror. No weapon formed shall prosper on my kids. No weapon formed shall prosper on your show. You know, because what you're doing by having this show, you're touching other people. By bringing people like me on your show, God is going to bless you because you are allowing me to help someone else. So, you know, I just want to say that to you. God bless you. God keep you. May heaven smile upon you because God is going to do great things for you. You know, I got chills all over me. So something great is going to happen for you.
Amen.
You know, you keep doing what you're doing, and you're going to see the mighty works of God.
Thank you. I received that, and I thank you very much. Now.
I received it too.
Okay. You see, I'm a firm believer in, you know, how can I put this? That we all have a purpose. And you said that several times you tried to end your life. And you were abused as a child. And you know, your kids, you know, your children were very disrespectful, and you know, it all comes to play that when my mother and father forsake me, you know,
the Lord
will take you up, right? Yeah. So now, when you go into these states, have you ever heard that small voice that's speaking to you? Because I know oftentimes when people go through things and they're in deep in the middle of the muck and mire, they hear voices. Have you ever had that happen to you?
Yes. The devil always tries to speak to the most loved person of God. When you have purpose and destiny and you have talent and you have gifts, you're going to have to suffer. And even though you're on the road to your place in life, the devil is going to tell you, you can't do that. You're not good enough. You're not big enough. You're too skinny. You're too fat. You're not pretty enough. You're this. Nobody really wants you. You remember what happened to you in your childhood? You know, yes, he speaks to you.
No, I'm talking about the other still small voice that was telling you that this is not true, that those things are not true. While you were laying there thinking that you were ending it, did you ever hear that small voice telling you that this is not the end? It's not over yet.
No, I didn't hear the voice because I was too medicated. I had drank almost a half a gallon of liquor, so they had to drain. You know, they immediately put the IV in because I was reeking with alcohol and pills. So I wasn't in a frame of mind to hear any voice. I was on my way out of here. So there was no voice that I could hear. The only thing I felt was peace. I had no pain in my body. I didn't feel no pain of not seeing my kids or being with my kids. I didn't have no pain of abuse. I didn't have no pain of a man walking out on me without saying it's over, without saying goodbye. I didn't feel any pain. I felt my body just slipping away.
And to be honest
with you, I have to say that at that moment I was at peace. At least that's what I thought. I felt nothing but peace drifting off. And that's not a place to go. Suicide is not a place to go. I don't want nobody to get the wrong impression by what I just said, because I'm alive. I was not supposed to kill myself. God will not forgive you if you take your life. That's something that is unforgiven, to take your own life. So I just want to put that out there, because I know I was saying I was drifting and I had peace. And no. I have peace today in God because he's the God of all understandings.
Amen.
You know, and he took away my painful childhood.
Amen.
He gave me forgiveness to forgive my children for the my kids made some choices that almost took me out of here too. I got rejected by my kids, and that's the worst kind of pain. Oh, not to have my son want me or my daughters to want me. It was like two gunshots to the chest. Boom, boom. You know, I love my kids to death. I love them. But I love God more than I love anyone in this earth, because when my kids forsake me, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord took me up. God is with me. When God changed my life, I forgave my kids. I love my kids. I have a heart of forgiveness. I apologize to my kids for anything I ever said to them or if I ever neglected them by drinking. I apologize to them. You know, so I forgave them. They have forgiven me. And now we are going on with our lives. You know, I rebuke anyone to try to come between me and my kids again. If anyone comes between me and my kids, that's on my kids. But I rebuke that, you know. So, no, I didn't hear no voice at the time.
But you hear it now.
But I hear the voice now.
All the time, huh?
All day long.
I believe we have a caller on the line who wants to say something.
Okay.
Hello. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Jessica, Alicia's oldest daughter. I just wanted to call and say hi to her and say I hear her on the radio and congratulations, and I'm proud of her to hear her speak so amazingly about her kids because we miss her. And I just wanted to say in front of everybody that we're really going to try to do our best to go to and work through any of our issues and stuff like that. And I just wanted her to hear that publicly because I have yet to see my mom. So.
Thank you,
baby.
Thank you.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yes,
Thank you.
I haven't seen her in about, 5 years? I haven't seen her yet. This is the one I haven't seen yet.
Okay. That's beautiful. Thank you.
No problem. I'm still listening.
Okay.
I'm you,
We have someone here at my house, Sister Carol from my church, Oriel. She would like to say something. Is that okay?
That's not a problem. Fine. Please join us.
Hello. Good night.
Hello.
Good night. My name is Carolyn Lovels.
Yes.
I would like to add something to that, Sister Alita. I was one of them, too. So I can say God is so good. God is so good. God is so good to us. He brought me a mighty long way too, because I was in the shoes that she was coming out of. It was like I was in the same shoes. So I don't know the reason why God connect us, but all I can say to God be the glory, great things He has done, because I was one of the suicide watch too.
Okay, and I'm grateful and I'm glad that you're here with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad to be here tonight. I just want to give God all the glory and the honor for all that He has done, and I want to thank Him for where He has brought me from and where I am today.
Yeah.
And all I can say to God be the glory for great things He has done.
Yeah.
And I just want to give Him thanks. That's all I can say right now.
Thank you.
To God be the glory.
Amen, and thank you.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you. We have another call on the line, too. Hello?
Yes, I have one more final question for my mother. This is for my friend that couldn't be here.
Okay.
Right? Her question she had wanted to ask is that because she really wanna, her major right now is nursing, and nursing is something that she really, really wanna do, but it's like she's not showing it. Like she's not working. So, like, she's not working hard enough to be that or to fill in that type, to be in that type of field. So, and then we asked her, like, what if you change your major to something that's, like, a little easier because the road that you're going down is, like, she's not going to be able to be in that field. And she's wasting her financial aid, and she's not doing so good. But her thing is that she's not going to succeed in something that she's not interested in. In order for her to succeed in something, she has to be interested in. But she's interested in nursing, but she's not also succeeding. She don't have no plan B. So what do we
tell her?
Get
a job at McDonald's.
Or Burger King.
That'll wake her up, okay?
Okay, I'm going to say that.
Where is she?
She's somewhere. She's not in this room that I'm in right now. She's in a dorm.
Okay. I'm going to send a book. Actually, a new book that I wrote yesterday. I'm going to.
Okay.
And It's called You Can't and Won't Stop Me From My Purpose. That book is going to change her life. So I'm going to get a copy of that book. Change her life. She's on the right track. Because we don't want her to work for Burger King, White Eagles, or McDonald's. Going down a lane, she's going to get that kind of job.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can tell her this much, and I can explain to her that if she takes a job in a career that she's not interested in, she's going to be busting her behind, working so hard, and being unhappy.
Right.
She might as well.
One second, Oreo. Turn the volume down and have the radio on. Turn it off.
What?
Turn.
No one has the show on. You got to turn it off.
Oh, hello?
Yeah, because I can hear that someone has their volume up.
Okay.
Is it
better? Yeah.
Yes, it's better.
What I'm saying to you is that when you have an opportunity, you have a golden opportunity. It's like having a golden ticket from the candy bar. And this is the time when you take advantage of it, because you take a job that you don't like, and because it pays, you're going to be running behind that career path in about 15, 20 years. So your peers may have already exceeded or excelled to a point where you want to be because they stayed clear and focused on their goals when they had the opportunity. Later on down the road, if she decides that she doesn't want to do this and she wants to remain unfocused, she's going to have to revisit this again. And it may not be free with financial aid. She may be paying for this out of her pocket. So what she needs to do is really ask herself why she's so unmotivated and figure out exactly what it is that's keeping her from her motivation. If it has to do with external forces like a guy, then she's being really silly, because at the end of the day, she has to take care of herself. At the end of the day, she has to pay her own bills. At the end of the day, she has to be responsible for her. And she has to understand that now as opposed to later, because later it has bigger consequences.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I wish she was here right now so she can hear me.
Well, this is a podcast and you can play it back for her.
Okay. Oh, yes. After the show is over, which is in 3 minutes, it looks like we have 3 minutes left, you will send me the link.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it can be downloaded on your computer as well. It could be downloaded and it could be listened to within the next, 20 minutes or 30 minutes, Oreo?
Yes. In about 20. Well, I've had it done. It was available sooner. But as soon as we just shut it down, I think in about 5 or 10 minutes, you might be able to get it, and I can send it to you in about 15 minutes afterwards.
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
We're going to get you a copy of tonight's show to let her hear it. Don't even let her know, what you're going to be doing, and you just play it and let her listen to it.
Okay. Thank you, Ma. I love you.
Love
Hi,
you.
Jessica. Okay.
Jessica's still here.
Yeah, she's still here.
Yeah,
Jessica.
I just want to thank my kids. Wow, I tell you, God has a way of bringing me and my kids together. What the devil tried to stop. No, so I just want to appreciate my kids for coming out and listening. And I love you. The past is the past. We are moving forward. We are not going to talk about the things of the past. We are moving forward as a family. As a family, from this day forward,
Amen.
We are mother and daughter, mother and daughter, son and mother. We are a family, and no one is going to separate us again. No one's perfect. We have made mistakes, but I love y'all. I love y'all with every breath of my being. And whatever y'all need, you ask me. If you need to talk to me, 12 midnight, 1 o'clock, y'all know I'm available. Y'all have a mother. Y'all don't have to look for no one else. I'm alive. I'm well. Your mother is here for y'all. For whatever you need, I am here.
Okay. Now, where can people find you? Because we got a couple of seconds left, but we can extend it a little bit. Where can people find you? What's your website? And, you know, can they find you on Facebook and so on and so forth?
Okay. I have a website, alejah1.com, A-L-E-J-A, number1.com. It's having some technical difficulties right now. It should be up and running again next week. Actually, Monday or Tuesday morning, it's going to be up and running again. My Facebook fan page is Stay Strong and Stan, and it's pretty over 4,000 likes. It's growing. So it's Stay Strong and Stan. My Twitter is BestBooks2Read. That's BestBooks2Read. I do have a foundation called the Stay Strong and Stan Foundation, where after June I will be traveling across the country sharing my story to abuse victims, addicts, alcoholics. I will be going all around the world. I need donations. I need support. I want to be able to give books to people that cannot afford to buy them, so I need support. So my website will be up next week, alejah1.com. What else? The book signing next Monday, February 24th. If you're in New York or if you're in the New York area, you can meet me next Monday at the Richmond Hill Library located in Richmond Hill, New York, 11418. Also, my show is resuming, Oriel.
All right.
The Stay Strong and Stand Show with your host, Alejah Bennett. Woo-woo-woo-woo. Yes, I am back. Yes, I am back on the radio March 1st. You will hear the voice, the sounds, the story of Alejah Bennett, my triumphs, my past, my present, where God is leading me, where God is taking me. It's going to be a powerful show every day starting March 1st. From me, March 1st, 7 to 9 p.m., I will be on your podcast. I will be online. I will be over the phones. The story, my story shall be heard. My voice shall be heard. And not only shall my story be heard, I want to hear your story too.
Yes. All right.
So with that said, thank you, Oriel. I think this was a fantastic, wonderful show. You are a wonderful host. Thank you for allowing me and my guests to participate. Amen. And bless the nation.
Thank you so much. As I said, we here at the Coco Express Show Network, we tell all stories. And I am so grateful and I am so glad that you had the time and the opportunity to join us.
You are so welcome.
Thank you. And you will be back again, right?
Of course.
Okay, of course. There you go. There you go. Okay, so I want to wish everyone a good night, and I want you to just be well. We're going to get a break in the weather, so enjoy it as much as you can, but also be mindful it's still winter, and it can come back to haunt you again. Until we meet again, which will be on Saturday with you, the best invention ever, have a wonderful evening. Good night.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.
Oh,